before God lately. We are in this series this summer, and you're wondering why we have this renovation type things going on, because we're in a series called Interior Redesign, Making Great Space for God. And the idea is to develop some discipleship or some spiritual practices. And you'll see this graph, I've put it up a couple of times, but this idea that we can spend time, you might spend time knowing about God. But what we're really talking about with spiritual practices is a relationship with God. So in other words, changing a sentence from what have you done for God lately to so what have you done with him? How much time have you spent with him? So that's what we're looking at over this summer sermon series. And we began with talking about, of course, beginning with the Holy Spirit. Because in this practice, these spiritual practices, we are enabled and supported and interacting with the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about these renovation steps. The first step we talked about was simplicity. This living simply, simplifying as opposed to making things complex. Simplicity as a spiritual discipline. And then we talked about silence. As a spiritual discipline, the ability to turn off the noise. This morning, we are talking about a third step in this renovation, this redesigning of our interior lives, this third step. And this third step, I will tell you, is going to require effort. So the question perhaps is, what kind of effort are we being invited to expend? What should we put our effort toward and why? I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. It's toward the end of the New Testament. Very near the end. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. It's in the middle, this writer's in the middle of describing things and connecting with the history of the Israelites. And in verse 9, he says, "So then, a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God." And I want to pause there. "So then, a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God." And so he's invoking this phrase, this word picture, Sabbath rest. And he is connecting with the Jewish audience that is listening and then reading, and of course connecting with us as well, because when we hear this Sabbath rest, as are the Israelite people, the Jewish people, they're recalling, for example, the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 about keeping the Sabbath. But we also are recalling at the very beginning of creation and the fact that God established a Sabbath rest in the cycle of creation. So connecting these points as he begins to talk about this, but this Sabbath rest is a very unique phrase. In fact, it is only used once, and it's used here. It's a specific reference, a specific day, and he says a Sabbath rest still remains. In other words, it has not yet been entered into. The Israelites hadn't entered into it. Joshua and leading didn't enter into it. It has not yet been entered into. And what the writer is doing is expanding on Psalm 95, and you can take that away as another link to read about, but he's expanding on Psalm 95, and later on, even in Hebrews 10, the writer will say, there is coming a time when the one who is coming will come, and he will not delay. And what he's referring to then in this phrase of Sabbath rest is that the Sabbath rest will be realized completely realized when Jesus Christ returns to earth a second time. That's when this Sabbath rest will be established. When there will be no more struggle, it will be completely fulfilling shalom when Jesus Christ returns to earth a second time. And so what he is doing already in this point is he is connecting that divine Sabbath rest that is destined with Sabbath, connecting that rest with the Sabbath. But more, he's connecting the beginning with the end, connecting creation and the consummation. So what we understand over and over as we are reading Scripture, and here in Hebrews as well, is that God, our Creator, has a mission, is on a mission to reestablish shalom, or to reestablish peace. In this case, the word rest. His mission is to establish this rest. We could use words like restore, because there once was a peace, a shalom. So restore, to rescue from all of the tumult and the violence. And to do all of that, that mission to establish or reestablish that peace is done through the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Known from the beginning, done through Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all people are invited into that invitation to receive and to become part of establishing that peace. And with that inspiration, the Hebrew writer continues in verse 10. For those who enter God's rest also cease from their labors, as God did from his. Now, the writer returns to the familiar phrase of rest. This familiar phrase that is used much more often. And he's making it clear that when he is referring to this, he's actually making an emphasis that what it means is to cease from work. To cease from labor. Followers of Christ, the promise is that someday, there is a promise that someday in the future, there will be this Sabbath rest, this establishment of shalom, this establishment of peace. But the invitation is that you and I, that we, that those that were listening and hearing of this, can enter into a form of that rest in the present as we take time to cease from work. And what's even more interesting to me is that the Hebrew writer says the Creator sets for us an example right from the outset of creation, where it is recorded that the Creator set a time to cease from work. So when you cease from work, you are following the example of the Creator. Rest as God rested. Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one may fall through such disobedience as theirs, referring to the Israelites. It's as though the Hebrew writer knew that ceasing work and entering rest is hard to do. And so you're going to need to put the effort into it. And I confess to you, it's hard for me. So he says, strive to enter that rest. Well, you might say, well, which rest? Is it the strive to enter that sabbatical rest, or strive to enter the rest with the Lord in the present? And I would say, well, the answer is yes. They're intrinsically connected. Entering that rest in the present is a form of bringing the future into the present. Even just for a moment. They're related. They're interwoven together. So his message, if I would put it in a sort of contemporary vernacular, it would be strive to be still. stillness as a spiritual discipline, stillness as a spiritual practice. Pausing, ceasing, stopping from the superfluity of activity. And why? Why? He says why? So that you might not fall. Why? So that be still to avoid falling. Now, we could say that literally, but it's also figuratively or spiritually, because we spend too much time rushing. And so being still, so we don't make spiritual, social, relational, emotional mistakes. Stillness as a form of health care. Stillness is actually part of God's deliverance. It's part of how He brings health to us. Through stillness. It's His part of His delivery system. I mean, we know this kind of practically speaking. You can be with, you know, there's children here and you're walking and you get close to, well, we do some hiking and get close to an edge and one of the kids just goes running right up to the edge and you yell out what? Stop! Hold still! Because the next couple of steps in any direction are precarious. Years ago, I was working in Toronto back in my corporate days. And a buddy of mine was running the IT over what used to be called the Sky Dome. I don't know who owns it now, Rogers or I don't know, whatever. He called me in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, wake up. He says, Coop, systems are down. Things are looking pretty bleak. I'm not sure what's going on. And he says, and my backups are kind of sketchy. His data backups kind of sketchy for those of you. And so we go over. I go over. I talk with him in the middle of the night. And what do you think we did? Well, I can tell you we didn't do a bunch of clickety-click right away. We spent the next hour or two talking, just being still and saying, well, how did we get to this point? Your systems are down. There's problems with the systems. His backups are sketchy. The next couple of moves are going to be really, really important. So let's just be still. The Lord is inviting us to the spiritual practice of stillness. And you know what's so beautiful? Is that it seems to me that throughout human history and to this present day, our penchant towards being hurried and hectic individuals. And what's beautiful is the Lord who created us, our Creator, who formed us, who stitched us together in our mother's womb, knows that of our inclination towards being hectic, towards running and being busy and all of that. And so gives us this wonderful invitation of stillness. I mean, no wonder the enemy, or perhaps our human nature, drives us to be busy all the time and to fill every space, because it's contrary to the way we're actually designed. We're actually designed to have these cycles, 7-day cycles, daily cycles, 24-hour cycles, and then in the day, moments where we are still. Let me ask you, and maybe you can recall, is it more challenging to teach a child to walk and run or to sit still? Is it more difficult or challenging to teach a child to disobey or to obey? I mean, where do they get that? Once they go, they go. And so the Lord is inviting all of us to keep rest, to keep rest with him. He's actually inviting us to be still as he is still, but to be still with him in stillness. And I know that's challenging. Listen, when I gave my parents a run for their money, literally. Since I was could walk and run, I did a lot of running. I was the kid that was on a harness for a while just to keep me alive. It's a challenge. And in adulthood, it remains to be a challenge, this practice of stillness. But when we think of it as being still with the Lord, presenting ourselves to him, being open to him, to our Creator, who is predisposed to spending time with you. What he really wants is with time. With time. And when we are still with him, opening ourselves to him, there is an opportunity for real communication, not just relationship connection, but real communication. And it is so healthy for us, holistically healthy for us. There's something in physical terms called periodicity. So when you're training, when you're running, or when you're doing workouts, there's this cycle that you need to do where you do workout, but you also have times of rest so that your muscles and your body can rejuvenate and rebuild that glycogen and so on. And that's all part of it. We're actually designed to be still as part of our health. I want to invite the music team to come back onto the platform. This is an invitation. I use the word invitation because the Lord, our Creator, has our best in mind all the time. It is always good. It is always our best. It is challenging for us to comprehend in a world where there are agendas and motives and politics and all of that clamoring for our attention and thought. But the Lord's always got our best in mind. A couple of weeks ago, Kimberly and I were in Jasper, and we were at an Airbnb. And we got a knock on the door at about 9 p.m., and our host started talking to Kimberly. Kimberly waved me over. And our host said, there's a fire coming. You have to leave. You have to leave and you have to go west. I looked at her and I said, how much time do we have? She said, you have to leave now. So we packed up our bag, put it on the back of our motorcycle. I turned east for a moment to go to a gas station, but there was already a lineup for blocks at the gas station, and I knew I couldn't do that. So we turned west. Police roadblocks were already set up going east. Police roadblocks were already set up going south. Some of the people were still, we were ahead of the curve, so there was traffic, and some people were trying to negotiate and talk and see if maybe they could still get somewhere or get over there. But Kimberly and I have long learned from being in many different countries that we listen to the advice of the people that are local to that space. And so we listened to our host, and we drove west because our host had our best interest in mind. Nothing else. So this spiritual practice of stillness will require a decision on your part. You will need to make a decision, And it will require what you could say is obedience. But it is also a direct expression. Being still is a direct expression of our faith that Jesus is King. That I don't need to do in order for something to get done. And it will mean if you decide to practice stillness, it will mean that you will need to rearrange some things. Your pattern, your theology, in order to be still with our Lord. And I want to invite you, if you're going to make this decision about this, to designate a place and a time. I mean, it's called a practice, it's called a discipline, because it's going to take some effort. Strive to make every effort. So designate a time and a place where you say, you know, at such and such a time or at such and such a time, whatever it is for you, because we're all in different stages of life. If you have a little bambino, it's very different than if you're retired. So you're gonna figure it out, but there's a designated place and a designated time where you say, I'm going to be still. For me, it's this chair. I have a lap desk, and it's at this time I'm going to be still with the Lord. I'm going to do some journaling or diarying. I'm going to write. Because I want to hear from the Lord, but I'm not always sure if it's the Lord's voice or whose voice. So I'm going to write, I'm going to read scripture, I'm going to write down, and then I'll open up a bracket for the, if I'm asking a question, I'll open up a bracket and see what thoughts come, and then I'll write those down, and then I'll look at scripture and see if they're consistent with scripture or talk about them, begin to discern and discern the Spirit's voice and begin to learn and practice that. Designated time and place. And I want to encourage you, listen, years ago I used to just use hard copy paper for my reading plan, and then I switched to my phone, and I will tell you, I will confess to you that that has become a problem. To use my phone to read scripture or to even have my reading plan can be a problem because I can so easily swipe over and get into the news and not be still with the Lord. So discern whether you're going to use hard copy, or if you're going to use your phone, it's going to require extra effort to spend time in stillness and setting that example, reflecting on the character of God. What is God really like? Is God the one who sets the fire? Or is God the one who sends the host to tell us to leave? Is God the one who shoots the gun, or is God the one who bandages the wounds? What is God's character like? And we can know because he said, Jesus is my reference point. If you want to know what the Creator is like, you look to Jesus. But all of that means that we got to be still. We can't do that on the fly. I spend time running and praying and listening, but I also need to spend time just being still. To discern that. And we have our Creator as an example. But we are also an example to your family, to your friends, to your co-workers. You're setting an example. Do you dare to set an example of stillness?
Church, let's close this morning by singing about stillness. And this, I'm changing up the order, tech team, so we're going to go back a song and re-sing Still. I had picked a different song, but we've just been pondering being still and knowing that he's God. So let's sing that song again. Let's stand as we sing.